Dan Orlovsky, the star is rising. He is a member of the ESPN College and Professional Football Analysis team. Of course, the former Lions quarterback.
We knew him when,
but he is still kind enough to give us some moments of his time. I know, I'm sure it's a very busy week for him with the NFL draft, and he joins us now here on 97.1 The Ticket. Hey, Dan, how are you?
I'm doing great. Good morning to you guys. How are you guys?
We're good. Really appreciate the time. Let's get right to it. This draft is, I was listening to your colleagues a lot, Mel Kiper and Todd McShay, and they both say it's a really hard draft to read because of the quarterbacks. Nobody can quite figure out, other than everybody assumes Kyler at number one, where these quarterbacks are going to go. Let's just start with the class overall. How good is a quarterback, is this quarterback class in your mind? How does it compare to last year's class?
It's not in the same conversation as last year's class. I mean, last year's class has got, you know, 3 to 4 guys that have a chance to be really, really, really good. I mean, last year's class, before the draft, was referenced to that 2004 Eli, Big Ben, P. Riv class, and it kind of lived up to the hype after 1 year. And so you're looking at a draft class that kind of uniformity-wise, everyone was like, man, we really love Sam Darnold. We really love Josh Rosen. We really love Baker Mayfield. And this year, what I believe is happening and what you're going to see is, and I've said this for years, a lot of teams in the NFL have no idea what a good prospect looks like, what he needs to have, what he can't have, how do you fix that stuff, how do you coach him, all that stuff. And that's why you're seeing the variance of, you know, oh, some teams don't have Dwayne Haskins in their top 2 or 3 guys on their board. Some teams don't have Drew Lock in the first round. Some teams don't have Kyler. Like, that's why you're getting all this variance, because a lot of teams don't understand it or know what it looks like. So it's a class that's got 2 guys that you feel pretty darn confident about and have a lot of really good things. And then there's some, you know, maybe we strike lightning in a bottle type of players in a Drew Lock or Daniel Jones or Jared Stidham or a Will Greer type guys.
All right, let's start at the top. Let's say you're Steve Keim. You are the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals. You have a new coach, offensive guru, Cliff Kingsbury. You have Josh Rosen on your team. What do you do if you're the general manager of the Arizona Cardinals?
I draft Kyler Murray. I've said that. Since Cliff Kingsbury got that job and Kyler Murray announced he was going to do football, I said Kyler Murray is going to be the number one pick. And a lot of times in the NFL we hear – it's a coach's job to put players in position to be successful. And this is just an example of an organization having the opportunity to put a coach in position to be successful. Like, Cliff Kingsbury has been chasing Kyler Murray for 6-7 years now. I mean, he was chasing him in high school to come. He chased him to college. Now is his opportunity. And so, do I like Josh Rosen? Absolutely. But if I'm the Cardinals, and I've already kind of taken the chance, dipped my toe in the water with the hire of Cliff Kingsbury, which is really either going to be this boom or bust type scenario, I'm going, what guy gives him the absolute best chance to be successful? And it shouldn't matter what else is on my roster. I would take Kyler Murray.
Along those lines, though, and again, I'm going back to McShay. McShay has Josh Rosen graded out higher than any of the quarterbacks in this draft. Like, do you agree with that? And would you trade a first-round pick to get up or to get Josh Rosen? I mean, I know he didn't have a great rookie year, but he held his own for kind of an overmatched Arizona team. What does this leave for Josh Rosen now in your mind?
I would have Kyler Murray ranked above Josh Rosen, strictly because Kyler Murray could do things you can't coach.
Mm-hmm.
Josh Rosen I've been a fan of him. I've been outspoken. I've had his back. But Kyler Murray just does, and everyone just thinks he's this runaround guy. Like, he is deadly from the pocket. I don't get concerned with the size. So I would take Kyler Murray over Josh Rosen. That being said, would I trade a first-round pick for Josh Rosen? Absolutely. Like, Josh, you don't go back and watch Arizona last year. Like, it was you. I don't know if there is a single quarterback in the NFL that would have been, I guess in a broad definition, successful in Arizona last year. They had a bottom 5 offensive line, a bottom 5 defense, the worst run game in the NFL. They faced the most top 15 defenses from rookie quarterbacks in the NFL last year. No one was going to be successful there. So you got to go back to your evaluation. And I just look at it as going, this has been a great process for him to go through, strictly because what were the questions about him? Maturity. Does he really love football? Can he handle it off the field? All that junk. And this has been a good growing adversity for him. And I would love to see him get traded to the Chargers or the Giants. You know, two things for me on Rosen. This will be his sixth coach in 5 years. Just think about having six bosses in 5 years and how hard that would be. And then I just go, man, if at worst case scenario, you get for the next 3 years, at a minimum, one of the better backup quarterbacks in the NFL, he's going to cost you $6 million over the next 3 years. At some point you go, this is a good business decision too. So I would trade him because I think he's a franchise quarterback.
Now, Dan Orlovsky of ESPN joins us. Now, you mentioned the Giants, so you'd rather them, if you're the Giants, trade a first-round pick for Josh Rosen as opposed to selecting Haskins with a first-round pick?
Yeah, I like Rosen more than I like Haskins, and I like Dwayne Haskins. Very intelligent. They're not all that different from each other, to be honest with you. Rosen is just 2 or 3 years more advanced than Haskins. I mean, much better with pocket, much better with the pressure, much better with handling the moments of panic than Haskins is. Haskins obviously hasn't started a ton of games and all that stuff, but he's got a very bright future if handled the right way. If I were the Giants, if I'm the Giants and I could go draft a really good player, obviously in somewhat of a speculation, but if I could get a really good player at six and I could draft or trade for Josh Rosen at 17, I look back and go, oh my goodness, I went back in time because I got the best player in the draft last year in Saquon Barkley. I got one of the best quarterbacks in the draft in Josh Rosen on the cheap, and then I got a really good defensive rush guy or interior guy at six. Then you're going, I pulled off Kevin Costner draft pay type stuff, you know? So
wow, that'd be something.
You'd go, man, I got three guys I can rebuild with really quickly.
We're talking to Dan Orlovsky of ESPN. Beyond the big two, as we've talked about with Murray and Haskins, is there a quarterback there, either in the first round, second round, who you think is being undervalued right now in the process?
Yeah, I would say Jared Stidham out of Auburn. Physically, Stidham is very impressive. Stidham's not all that different than Matthew, to be honest with you. Like, strong, tough, good athlete, beautiful thrower of the football. Smart. It's just such a difficult evaluation of him because Auburn's offense was so painful to watch. I mean, there was no, oh, this is good for a quarterback to be in type stuff. It was a brutal offense schematically, and so many gadget plays and trick plays. Nobody gets open at Auburn, and so it's just a difficult evaluation. But if you're a team in the second round and going, man, I want to draft off traits rather than production. I know this. One of the hard things to get a quarterback to do, and it's even harder nowadays because of the rules and the offseason stuff, is like get him to stand in there under pressure and be willing to take hits and deliver the ball. This dude will do it. It's ingrained in him. And so I would say Stidham is a guy that I would just keep my eye on and be like, he might not be being appreciated for the player that he actually is.
I'm not that comfortable with Connor Cook or Savage as Matthew's backup. At what round, if you're Bob Quinn, do you consider drafting a quarterback, A, to be a backup, or B, maybe the heir apparent when Matthew's done?
Well, I mean, that's obviously a loaded question. I would say you could start doing it in the second round. And I know that might be surprising to some people, but if there's a guy that you as an organization have pegged to be like, man, we really like this guy. He is a guy that when we look at him go, this is a guy that we honestly believe we can win with in the NFL over the long haul, then I would say second round is a spot where you can entertain. If you've got a grade on him that is much, much higher than that, you can start and justify and go, that pick was justified because where we had him ranked and what we envision him being. Does that always create questions and drama? And obviously, but I don't, at some point you certainly have to start preparing for the what ifs and whatnot. And I believe Matthew has a lot of years left of really good football, but you can never have enough good quarterbacks on your team, obviously.
I know I don't want to pigeonhole you as only talking about quarterbacks, but obviously the Lions are drafting at eighth unless they make a trade. They're not going to be drafting a quarterback at eight. Have you looked at the players they're looking at? I mean, is there an ideal pick that you have for the Lions at eight in your mind?
Yeah, I mean, I know a lot of people tag them as like an edge rush guy. I don't see that. Again, this was a defense and a head coach that you brought in because of his creativity on the defensive side of the ball. This was a team that didn't have a lot of individual sack leaders, but was relatively productive getting to the quarterback sack-wise last year as a whole. The addition of Trey Flowers, I don't know if you really need to add an edge rusher to this defense. Obviously, linebacker is something that has been talked about. Devin White reminds me so much of Patrick Willis from Ole Miss back in the day. It was a decade-long Pro Bowler. You could look at inside linebacker for Devin White if he fell. I don't see him falling to eight. I know tight end has been tied there. I wouldn't go tight end because it's a really deep tight end class. I think you can get a really good tight end in the second round. You know, corner could be something that you can make the case for. Safety could be something. I don't see a safety going that high. There's a lot of places that you could point for the Lions and go, if they can get value. The likeliest I just see happening is somehow them trading back and getting more picks.
All right. Hey, Dan, really appreciate the time. I know it's a busy week for you. Thank you so much. Great talking to you.
Appreciate you guys.
Thanks, Dan.
Dan Orlovsky joining us here. Thanks very much, Dan, on 97.1 The Ticket.